I don't like sleeping with animals in the bed. I just...
How does that work with the cat?
The cat's not allowed in our room. Door's closed. Yeah. Well, if he's up in my face or near my head, then I wake up sneezing and can't breathe and eyes and all this. And so,
but the cat still sleeps in the bed.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Our cat sleeps between Kat and I, right here at head level.
Yes.
Like curled up between us.
That's how we compromise. He doesn't want the cat in the bed. I want the cat in the bed. The cat sleeps in the bed.
All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring our faith. Exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. There we go. I have a puppy. I'm not sleeping. And a baby. I got two things.
Yeah. Lots of stuff.
What's your third strike?
I don't know. This podcast.
I just stay awake at night wondering what's going to happen with beyond Sunday.
I scream into the void.
This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Yes. We are a day away from the election. When at term of recording.
Wait a minute.
At least we determined last week you have no idea when the election actually is.
Listen, I voted. So whatever.
I did my part.
Yeah, what happens, happens.
Now, did you vote like in a polling place or just like for your favorite
gas station?
You voted for your favorite fries on Facebook.
Yeah. That was voting.
I took a quiz about which vegetable I am.
Cool.
Yes.
Broccoli? Yeah. Do I feel like a broccoli to you?
I don't know.
Well, I guess
broccoli seems like a party vegetable. They seem like a half
nothing. Asparagus, because they grow in groups.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry.
I learned something new about asparagus, didn't I? That's fine.
All right. Well, before we get to our main topic, we're continuing our journey through
the Bible. What kind of vegetable would Patrick be?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, we can carry on. Journey through the Bible. What are we doing?
I'm going to think about it.
Yeah, think about it. We'll get back to you by the end of the podcast. Uh-huh. What vegetable? We're journeying through the Bible. We're taking a break from like going in order.
Right.
And we're jumping around a little bit.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about Job.
Job.
Yes, maybe depending on how you feel about the election tomorrow, Job might be a very good book for you to explore.
Might be.
So, yeah.
I think it's a good one to explore no matter how you feel.
I agree. It's a great book. An interesting book.
It's great.
Yeah, my response when I heard about this was, that is the most depressing book in the Bible.
We'll get there.
But it's like, it's really importantly depressing.
Sure. I did garner a new appreciation for it my study.
And hopefully you as a listener can garner a new appreciation.
I gave it 1.5 thumbs.
1.5 thumbs. Mm. Out of how many?
Out of two. How many thumbs do you have?
Like, why do I have half thumb?
Collectively, we have 6 thumbs.
Oh, okay. So proportionally, that would be... 4.5 thumbs out of our 6.
This is an unusual rating that we've not done for any other book of the Bible.
What is the 6th thumb book? Is there one?
Oh, I'll have to think about that. Like, what's a perfect 6 out of 6?
Yes.
I'll think about that one, too.
Probably like Romans.
All right, what kind of vegetable is Patrick, and what's a 6 out of 6? Is Romans a 6 out of 6?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So much of, like, Protestant theology comes out of Romans.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll come back to it.
Yeah. We'll get to that 6 out of 6 one of these days. You can't give the perfect score out too early, because then if another book comes out and surprises you, you're like,
sure,
where do we
there's
go
nowhere
here?
To go from there. Yeah.
First of all, can we do this for every book of the Bible?
From now on? Yes.
From now on.
Okay. Yeah, going
all
forward.
Right, we'll give you our rating at the end of the pod, okay? Yeah. We can't rate it now. We haven't talked about
this.
I just told you, it's 4.5.
Siskel, that's for your rating. At least I have not contributed thumbs to this process.
Sure. Oh. Okay. This is the official Christian rating, by the way.
Official, yes.
Be it so declared for here and all eternity.
Yeah. We'll figure out our rating system here.
Yeah.
All right,
so we're going to talk a little about science here.
I thought we were talking about Job.
Well, before we get to Job, we're talking about science.
I mean, there's science in Job, too, so that's fine.
Yeah. So there's some awards that happened earlier last month. And so all about
like
science.
Emmys? Oh, like science Emmys.
These are science awards.
Science Emmys.
Science Emmys.
Science Emmys. Yeah. Yes, and so... Because I think this is a question you've been asking for scientists.
Probably. I ask lots of questions.
What happens if an alligator breathes in helium?
Okay. What happens if an alligator breathes in helium?
I do need to know.
You need to know. Okay. A fairly similar response to when you breathe in helium.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It growl high pitch?
Yes. And you can listen to that on YouTube.
Fabulous.
Pause this, go listen to it, come back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said the most hardest part of this experiment was figuring out how to get the alligator to breathe in helium.
It doesn't have lips for one thing.
Yeah, you can right. just throw in a helium balloon.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got like the teeth. Yeah. And, you know, yes. Sure. The biting.
You can just throw balloons into its mouth. So yeah. Then it bites it.
They put it in a tank and just pumped in like a helium oxygen mix.
So like it was just breathing in the helium naturally.
Yes. Okay. And then you're asking, but why?
I am asking that. Yep. And did this receive my tax dollars for funding? That would be my second question.
probably. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. This is from China and Florida combined together.
Okay. So,
Chinese and Florida.
International cooperation, that's important. Yeah.
Yeah,
they just want to see if vocal tract resonance is the same as in mammals and birds and an alligator.
Is the same in mammals and birds as an alligator?
Yeah, so we have vocal tract resonance. So
which lets us change the pitch of our voice.
Yes, right. Could alligators do the same is what they're saying.
Couldn't they just listen to the alligator and know if it changes its voice?
Yeah, but... this one involves helium.
I don't know what you're saying. This is the more fun way to do it. Right. Yeah.
Whatever.
This made a better YouTube video.
So this won an award for the IG Nobel Awards. Mm. This is a spin-off of the Nobel Prizes.
Spin-off?
Well, it's a play.
Lesser known.
Because it's a parody of the Nobel Prizes.
Yeah. All
right. The IG, they're called the IG because it sells Ig Nobel Awards.
Ah,
so they give awards to things that are weird and unusual for science. I've got a few more here if you'd like to listen to some of these things.
Mm-hmm. So I would love nothing more.
Yes. Yeah. Here's in psychology, the award was, they devised a method to identify narcissists by examining their eyebrows.
Cool.
What do your eyebrows say about narcissism?
I usually examine narcissists by listening to them for 30 seconds.
Sure.
It seems like a pretty surefire way to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But now I gotta know about the eyebrows.
You have to look that one up. I didn't read that.
Do I have narcissistic eyebrows?
Well, at least.
There's probably a BuzzFeed quiz about that.
I need to take this to my waxer, okay?
get rid of my narcissist eyebrows.
I have a narcissist arch.
In economics, they described the relationship between different countries' national income inequality and the average amount of mouth-to-mouth kissing.
Cool. Uh-oh.
And they determined nations with the larger income inequality kiss their spouses on the mouth more.
So the more income, not just more income inequality. So yes. Greater disparity between the poorest and the richest.
Yes, you kiss your spouse on the mouth more.
On the mouth.
And so in places where you don't kiss on the mouth as much, there is less
gap. And they concluded you might kiss your spouse more because you're looking for greater security in a relationship that you may not find in economics.
Hmm.
There you go. Okay. In management, this is a Chinese one, they found this site. They didn't conduct the study. A professional hitman was called on a business associate, and they found that he was given X amount of dollars, and so he hired a hitman for less. And then that hitman hired a hitman for less and less and less and less until finally the fifth hitman was getting like a 1/20th of the wage of what was originally paid.
Is this a hitman pyramid scheme?
A hitman pyramid scheme. And then that hitman decided it was not enough to actually kill this guy. So he did meet him for lunch and convinced him to pose in a photo of being tied up and then just disappear for a couple days.
Hey, props for the creativity there. Like, listen, I don't actually want to kill you.
Right.
Can I just tie you up?
Right.
Take a picture
These are the award winners. And then finally, and I think this one is important here.
Yeah.
Can you make a knife out of frozen human poop?
I really hope the answer is no.
Yeah.
They concluded it was no. That
thank goodness.
That they could not cut anything with their frozen human. You're just smeared.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Yikes.
You really hope, but now if you're stuck, you're trapped in Alaska somewhere.
No,
you know you can't do that.
I'm cool with that.
Yes, don't even plan for that.
Let me go quickly. I'm good.
Sure. Yep. Maybe you could make like a pea icicle type of thing and use that as like a stabbing tool.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I feel like there are regular icicles in Alaska.
There it is.
So not sure why the pea part is necessary.
Look, it's you can use what you got.
Nope. Move on. To really anything else.
All right, to Job. Let's move on to Job. Yes, those are our science awards.
Yeah. Ta-da. Science Emmys.
Yeah. So thank you, science.
That's not the Emmy music. What is that?
I don't know.
I think that's the old Tonight Show. I think that's what that was.
All right, so Job is an unusual book. I've got some notes here that we'll go through.
I like notes.
Okay, here's why Job is unusual.
All right.
I've got a couple of reasons. One, Job is not an Israelite.
What?
So the Old Testament follows the journey of the Israelites,
And this heathen?
And Job is not one of them. Yep. So he is set apart from kind of the story we're following.
Yeah.
Two, it's not set in Israel or anywhere near Israel. It's far, far away.
Yep.
So...
question.
A galaxy far, far away.
Is Uz real, the place where it's set?
I think it is a real location, okay. Yes. That it's not just a fictional place.
It's actually
place.
Just a typo. It's supposed to be the Land of Oz.
I appreciate yes. that throwback to our trunk or treat.
Yes. And what is Job looking for? A heart, right. brain, yeah. or right. courage?
Right.
A little bit of all.
Maybe, yeah. yeah, maybe some of all. And it has no time frame. We have no idea when Job is set.
Yep.
Is this set pre-Moses, post-Moses, David time? We don't know.
It feels no like idea. A sci-fi.
Yes, it's kind of like, so it's really, and it's also written very unusually, much different than other narrative works mm-hmm. in the Bible. So we have kind of a two-chapter prologue.
Yeah.
And then a one-chapter epilogue. And then everything in between is kind of monologues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's written like a play, in a sense. So we kind of have a setup, and then just here's people talking, and then a character will respond in a long, long monologue.
Yeah.
And then a long, long monologue.
Not like a play like we would think of a play, but like a play like if you've read like ancient Greek.
I was going to say like Shakespeare is what it reminded me of.
Yeah, so Shakespeare or like Euripides and stuff. Like, I think,
sure.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
Euripides is a thing.
Job is like no ancient, Hamilton.
They're an ancient playwright, right?
Sure, why not?
Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of pities in the
yeah, it is definitely not him. Though, you know, this could be a cool next project for Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, we'll send it over to him. We'll give him some notes.
Check out Job.
Yeah.
We can...
Kind of riff on this.
Yeah, what rhymes with Job? Robe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we did your work
it
for
writes
you.
Itself.
You're welcome.
And we're done.
Yeah, because he could tear his robe. There right. you go. Boom.
Yeah.
All right, so there's Job. Our introduction. So let's start with the prologue.
Yeah.
Or maybe let's start with...
Chapter one,
which is the prologue. But we'll go into it. What do you remember or know or think about Job before we even get there? So Elise, you said you kind of need a refresher course, and you had a new appreciation for Job after your refresher course.
Yes.
So I did a refresher course too.
Yeah, so I watched the Bible Project video this morning, and it was really cool just to see kind of their take on what the overarching theme in Job was. And I also really appreciated all the bits on narrative structure, which should not be a surprise to anybody.
Sure. Yeah, especially if you listened to last week's episode.
That's right.
Two weeks ago.
Wow.
Like I said, 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
The weeks are kind of running together.
any introductory thoughts on Job here, Pastor David, before we dive into the book?
Yeah, I really love Job. And I think that Job is one that we look past because of all those things that we just listed, right? Where it's kind of weird. It doesn't follow the narrative of like the actual timeline of the Old Testament and things like that. So people often kind of like glance past it. But there's really beautiful stuff in Job. And I think it's a really powerful counterpoint to a lot of modern cultural understandings of suffering and God's role in suffering. It offers a really beautiful counterpoint to how we typically think about that. And it's powerful for that reason.
Yeah, I think it's easy to go into the book of Job, if you're somewhat familiar, which we're about to jump into kind of a summary, to think that it's answering the question, why does God allow suffering to humanity?
Yep.
And I'm going to say, and we'll get there, the book of Job is certainly not asking that question.
No.
And if that's the question you're asking going into this, you will not get an answer.
Yeah.
Like, or you will not get a satisfactory answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
I think you will find maybe a satisfactory answer to, I think, the question the book might be asking.
Ooh.
So that was a spoiler. Yeah. So the prologue kicks off. So in the prologue, God is kind of holding court, and it's set in heaven.
As
or,
one does.
You know, here's God, he's up there, and he's going to be like, hey, what do you guys think about Job?
Job is the best.
We
all love Job.
Pretty much. Job's great. Am I right, everybody? Yeah. What
it's
do you
like
think?
Like when you want your name to not come up in a meeting.
When God is talking. Oh, gosh.
No.
Yeah. And everybody in heaven's like, yeah, Job's pretty great. He's really good. And then Satan makes an appearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the accuser is what your Bible might say. I think in that's a literal translation, that would be Satan.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of
Shatan would be the Hebrew word, which we then kind of transliterate into Satan.
But yes.
Yeah. Tempter, accuser, yeah.
So like Satan shows up and Satan's going to challenge God on Job.
Yeah. He's basically going to say, like, Job only loves you because he's got all this great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, take the stuff away.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, Job's got a lot of cool stuff, therefore he loves you. What would he do if he didn't have anything?
Yeah.
And God says,
Done.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Yeah.
So we kind of start off with this bet between God and Satan.
Yep.
And Job is kind of the playing piece in a sense.
Yeah.
So Job is stricken. His family is killed.
Yep.
All his wealth.
Children and all his property.
Is gone.
Yep.
It kind of is set up very interesting. Like, he's there at his house, and like a servant runs up, and he's like, "Hey, Job, bad news.
Yeah.
All your property's gone. We got wiped away in a tornado." Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, that stinks." Yeah. And another servant runs up, and he's like, "Hey, Job, oh, your kids, they also died in that tornado." Yeah. And Job's like, "Oh, that's terrible."
Yep.
And then another servant shows up, and he's like, "Hey, Job, your health is terrible right now, too." Like,
yeah.
And then his wife shows up, and he's like, "You should just curse God and die," basically.
Mm-hmm. That was helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not really very supportive of this. Right. You know, she's like...
she's seen a lot at this point. Yeah.
And then Job's friends show up. Three guys show up to hang out with Job. And they sit in silence as Job is sitting there.
This is the meal train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. The meal train has showed up. Yeah.
And can we say their names just because their names are fun to say?
They're great.
I did not have those written down because I did not want to try to pronounce them.
That's right. I got this. So his friends show up. We've got Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite.
I think we should bring back the "thes" in naming.
Yeah, what would, I agree.
So is the "the" like where you're from? Is that what the is?
You know, even if you just put it in front of your last name, David the Bowser.
David.
You know?
That does have a nice ring.
Yes.
To it.
Yeah.
The
yes.
Bowser. Yeah.
The Bowser.
Yeah. I think that could work there. So they come and they sit with Job for a couple days in mourning. And I'm going to say that's the best thing they do for Job. Is they sit with him.
That's the only thing they get right. Yep.
Yeah. And this next section, which is the longest section of Job, is going to be this long form conversation between Job and these three friends. And spoiler alert, another dude will show up at the end. And this is where we're going to get into the real question of Job. And it is not, why does God allow people to suffer? It is God just?
Mm-hmm.
And does God run the universe in a just way? Both those things connected. So is God a good God? And does God run the universe in a good way? So that's what we're going to have. So that's the questions that these three men and then Job. And then the fifth guy when he shows up.
Yep.
That they're going to be wrestling with. Because they're going to ask the question, okay, why is Job suffering? They're going to get at this. All right, because they have an understanding of God and the world that's probably a similar understanding to many of the Israelites at the time, maybe even many people today, and that is if humans do good things will happen to them. If humans do bad things will happen to them.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cosmic karma kind of thing that's divinely organized by God, and that's how it's supposed to look.
Except that we see evidence all around us that that's not true.
Correct.
Yeah. Like, bad people get good stuff all the time.
Yes.
That's just what we live in.
Correct.
But I think there is still that belief that's held by a lot of people,
whether
or not it's acknowledged. Like, I was talking to a friend yesterday who said she had an encounter with somebody who was recalling a conversation they had with somebody that was having, like, a stomach ulcer, and said, "Well, what commandment did you break?"
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's always projected outward, though. Like, I don't think that we ever think, like, "Oh, well, my suffering is because of the commandments that I broke this morning before breakfast." Yeah. You know?
Did they come to a conclusion? Did they figure out which one they broke to cause the stomach ulcer?
I don't think so. No, I'm hoping that lady told
me. I was going to say 7 too. Yeah,
I don't even know. I can't remember
which one is 7.
I think it's stealing.
Oh.
But it kind of depends on how you count.
That feels,
because in different places they're listed differently.
Yeah.
So,
are they listed differently?
That's a whole other podcast. But yes. Okay.
Yeah,
there are always 10.
But I think
when
suffering does happen to us, it's easy to go into a place that we might ask of, especially if you're a follower of Jesus, of like, one, why me? Why am I going through this?
Yep.
Two, is this divine punishment? What is the meaning of this suffering? What, how and why, or what can I grow and learn from the suffering? All those things are happening. Even though the history of humanity has shown, like, suffering is pretty impartial. And it can go to both the good and the bad alike. And reward is pretty impartial. It can go to both the good and the bad alike. Mm-hmm. And even though we live in that world where we see that every day, whenever a bad thing happens, it's easy sometimes to think of, yeah, but why me?
Yep.
Like, even though, like, how come I'm not magically or cosmically protected from these bad things? Mm-hmm. that I know exist in the world, but they should not exist for my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of what they're going to go through. So Job's theory is this. He's going to say, one, I didn't do anything wrong. I am blameless.
Yeah.
And therefore, my suffering is not justified. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for this to happening. Therefore, God is unjust.
Yeah.
That's the conclusion Job is going to land on. That's his narrative. That's how he's presenting this. I didn't do anything wrong. Therefore, my suffering is unjustified. So God is unjust. That's how he's going to do it. The friends are all going to kind of hit Job over and over again with kind of the same philosophy of God is just. The world he runs is operated with justice. Therefore, you are guilty, Job. You did something wrong.
Yeah.
And they'll sometimes guess of like, maybe you did this.
Yeah.
Or maybe you did that. Right. You know? So that's kind of how his friends.
You know what you did, Job.
Yeah.
You know.
You probably
they just want the tea is what it is.
Yes. they're looking for the gossip. What's going on here, Job? Yeah. Because a lot of suffering. You might as well tell them real wrong.
Yeah.
This isn't just a little bit. Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah, and then at a couple points here, Job will go stop at kind of conversing with the friends and kind of directly address God. Mm-hmm. And Job will say some hard things. Job is going to basically accuse God of being a bully. Mm-hmm. He's going to say, God, you cause suffering in this world. You are the reason humanity is suffering. God is absent from this world. And Job is continuously saying, I'm innocent. I know I'm innocent. And there's only one person that can really address this. God, show up and answer for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Job is a bold dude.
Yeah.
So he's bold in the face of his friends who are not very good help. And he is demanding an audience with God to prove to his friends and to, I guess, maybe to himself that he's right. God does not show up. Well, God does not show up first.
Right.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. God's going to make an appearance in this. And it's interesting.
That's like the last act surprise.
It is a twist ending that God will show up and talk to Job. So another dude shows up. What's this dude's name?
This dude's name, let me get the full title here. This is chapter 32, verse 2. Then Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram.
Wow, that's a title.
Yeah, and some of those names are like hyphenated. It's hard to read names like that when they're hyphenated on two lines. It's
Well, the good news is, for myself and Elise and all our listeners, we don't even know if you pronounced those correctly.
Right.
You could have said anything.
I did. Those are absolutely correct.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So you say it with confidence, and I'm like, that's probably it.
I'm confident because it's right.
Are you, though?
Yes.
How do you know it's right?
Because I just spoke it into being.
Oh, okay. Oh, ooh, wow. Okay.
I am the HR department.
Pastor David's going to come down with a stomach ulcer.
Commandment was that.
All right, so this new dude, what's his name again?
Elihu.
Elihu shows up.
Or Elihu, depending on which.
Yep. It's not that certain.
There are two ways. It's like David and David. There are two ways to pronounce the same name.
Sure, but is there?
Mm.
Yes.
Wow.
Patrick and Patrick.
Sure.
I call him Patrick all the time. He doesn't like it.
Sure, he does not.
Oh, well, this dude comes with a new theory. He just shows up and is like, hey, heard you guys talking?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to just bump my way on in here.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out. Right. What's up?
Just showed up.
Haven't said anything for a while because I'm young.
He's got a new theory, and he says God might provide suffering in a different way.
Ooh.
And this way might be to warn you of maybe a future sin.
So what are you thinking about
doing? Yeah, maybe something's coming on the way, and you should do that. Mm-hmm. And to potentially shape you into being a better person.
Yeah.
So I think this guy has maybe a more nuanced task, this graft on suffering. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he's completely right, but I think he at least has a greater understanding than Job's friends do.
Yeah.
And maybe even Job himself does, which is very kind of simple way of looking at understanding. All right, looking at suffering.
Yeah, I mean, to defend Job briefly, I mean, Job's coming from a worldview that says, like, I haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. Right? I mean, you didn't deserve it. You don't get it because you do or don't deserve it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Job is true in that he did not deserve this thing to happen. That's just not what leads to suffering or not.
Sure.
Suffering is not based on merit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anything else here about these three guys, this friend, any of Job's complaints here? Anything else you got?
I really like Job's response. I mean, he comes up with several responses. But in chapter 19, he comes back with one that's pretty famous. So this is Job 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. And so even in the midst of this, this for me is this reminder that Job is still confident in God's providence. Like God is still over all of this. I know that God is still going to be the one that redeems me, but this situation is...
Yeah.
Unfair, like this is not what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so, and Job's really struggling with it, which I think is where a lot of us really fall into this struggle as well, where we say, we know God is supposed to be faithful. We know God is supposed to be caring for us and protecting us. What is going on? Why is this still happening?
Yeah. In fairness to Job, even when he calls God like a bully or saying God is causing suffering, he does pull back from that sometimes. And sometimes even wrestling with like, is this true though? How can I hope in God? I want to get there, but I'm struggling with it, kind of a thing. All right, so then we kind of have like, you know, this will be kind of like our intermission. This is that's the first act. We introduced it. We have the friends. So, you know, what do you want to do here for intermission on the podcast?
Go get a drink.
Go get a drink.
Popcorn. Yeah. Popcorn, sure. Popcorn. Yeah. Use the restroom.
Yeah, sure. All those things are happening. And then we come back into act two.
With a little entre-act.
Yeah. Oh, this would be a good place for intermission here. At least you have a vegetable yet that you would kind of sum me up as.
I'm thinking bell pepper, but I can't justify it yet.
I see that. Because he changes colors depending on the season.
Could be that.
Yes. Yeah. Depending on my coloring of the time, I could be sweeter or spicier.
Yeah. Fits in anywhere. Sure. Basically. Yeah.
You're not going to be dissatisfied.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm showing up.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. If you're an orange bell pepper, I might be dissatisfied.
Wow.
How is that different from the yellow or the green or the red?
The oranges are different. They're all different. That's why they're different colors.
Do they taste different?
Yeah, this is not an M&M scenario. They all taste different.
Okay.
Just wait till the vegetable I pick for you.
Yeah. Zucchini.
I'm going to say, what's a gross one?
All right.
Back to act two. All right. So, here in act two, are you going to make it?
I'm going to be fine. I'm worried about Elise.
God shows up. Boom. Act two starts. Mm-hmm. We're about three quarters of the way through Job, and God enters the picture.
What's up, everybody?
Yes.
It's the Lord of hosts. Yes. I imagine that's how God enters the
picture. Sure, yeah. I
like it.
He does
come in with some interesting trivia.
Boom. Yeah. And God...
By the way.
Yeah.
God's like, okay, Job, you got your questions? I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where were you when the universe was made?
Just out of curiosity.
I don't quite remember.
What were you doing when the earth took shape?
Yeah.
He's like,
did you tell the sea where to stop? Was that you? Was that you? I don't remember. Yeah. Can you help me out here?
Oh, yeah. God lays it out immediately.
Major sarcasm.
Leviathan. Did you tame the Leviathan?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I find God's statements to Job so interesting.
Right?
Especially
when read in like a super sarcastic
tone. Yeah. I think very sad.
I think act one, the friends going back and forth, it gets a little repetitive. I think Job's really interesting. The friends are kind of like, they're just saying the same things over and over
they're
and over
kind
again.
Kind of straw man, yeah.
Yeah. But when God shows up, man, this takes a turn because it is very interesting. He's going to, say like, do you know how to make the sun rise? Do you call the stars in the night sky? Mm-hmm. And he's like, do you know where the fawn and the deer sleep at night? Do you know what the lion's eating, basically? Mm-hmm. He's basically saying, you don't know anything about this universe that you perceive, you think you do. I created this. I am running this. And you are going to come here and tell me I'm doing a bad
job?
You're
going to come into my house.
Yeah. He's like, you can only see your perspective. Mm. I see all perspectives.
Yeah. And then we're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will say, Job, you want to give this a try? You want to run this universe? Step right up and let's see how you do.
Oh, I saw this movie. This was
Almighty, right?
Yeah.
And then they made a sequel with Noah. They could have a third one with Job.
Job Almighty,
Job Almighty, yes. Where this is going to be. So you wanted to run this? We could do this.
Yeah.
And then... God will kind of talk about these weird animals, a behemoth and a leviathan, and we're not quite sure what that means.
Big animals. Probably one on land and probably one in the water.
Yeah.
Big animals.
These could be real animals. These could be fictional animals. These could be extinct animals.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
I think you could make a case for all three of those
yep.
In this thing.
And it could be animals that were real and are now extinct.
Yeah. Sure. In Job's, for the Job audience, right. They could have been real.
Well, not even, but the Job's audience would have understood them as real, because they were real in some prehistoric time, and so they found bones or whatever of these prehistoric animals.
Like unicorns.
Narwhals.
Are they real?
If you're an ancient person and you walk along and you find, a mammoth skull or something like that, you're like, what is this thing?
Laying around.
Right, and they're, way bigger than, a normal elephant and stuff like that.
Sure. I see what you're saying. So we're not sure. But God, I think, is kind of getting out, lifting up these giant beasts that God tames and controls. Mm-hmm. He's kind of putting the universe in this two-part system of the world is both orderly and beautiful and wild and dangerous. Mm-hmm. Both those things are true at the exact same time, and they're both true in your life, Job, at the exact same time. So... maybe when we ask the question, why is there suffering in the world? I think this kind of gives us, in my opinion, somewhat of an answer to that.
Yeah.
The world is orderly and beautiful, and that makes us question why there's suffering in the world, because since the dawn of mankind, there's been suffering. Guess what? Tomorrow there's going to be suffering. Mm-hmm. It's going to continue. It always has been here, and it always will be here in this present earth. Yet we still keep asking the question.
Yeah.
And I think because the world is orderly and beautiful, and we feel like this is a little unnatural.
Yeah.
But it's also wild and dangerous. And the earth, as it's currently constructed, is not designed to prevent suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where we're at. And so God, this is what he says.
Yeah.
What do you think? But what do you think, Job? Again, he's not really answering any of Job's questions.
Yeah.
But he is answering Job's questions.
He's not answering any of Job's questions directly.
No, because he's God.
Yeah.
And God doesn't have to answer Job's questions correctly.
So... does God show up? Is Job innocent? God doesn't really say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I think the text, since we have the prologue, we get to peek behind the curtain a little bit. So we know that Job is.
Right. Yeah. God has described Job as blameless.
Yes. Yeah.
That's one of the things that I really love about the structure of Job is that you have the bookends on either side and you see God at the beginning and God at the end. And at the beginning, you're seeing him set this up and have this conversation about Job. And kicking off this, and then you have the back and forth in the middle, and then the end God comes in and says, basically, this is an infinitely more varied story than you could ever wrap your head around. And it's just really cool for me to see that full arc in Job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a really, such an interesting story structure. And again, when God shows up, I think it's really, really phenomenal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The really, really, really kind of cool, and what God is saying, I think, is really interesting. So, yeah. And then we have an epilogue, and then the end.
Yeah, and the end is great, too, because ultimately Job is the one who's kind of lifted up again as having done right in the eyes of God. And Job is actually tasked with praying for the three friends who came in. Like, the three friends were, trying to, defend God the whole time. Like, Job, this must have been you. And God's like, no. You all got it wrong. Job's the only one who was truly faithful to me. So now Job's going to pray for you, and maybe I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Job also says, I was wrong, God.
Yeah, my bad.
I should not have made these questions. I think he's getting a little bit of an understanding of the nature of suffering, that sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
And in this case, we know exactly why it happened, but sometimes it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still trust and lean on God, even if you're unsure of why or how. And I think it's interesting. And God says, you guys are wrong to the friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything is restored. All the things that were taken from Job are given back.
Cool.
And the end.
I'm assuming not the children, though.
We don't know.
Let's see. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job.
I think he does get new children.
New children.
Are they the same children? 2.0. Are they new children? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. New children are there at the end, but we don't know if they're just boom.
He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so, I think he had new sons and daughters. I think is
how it's presented.
That's how it's presented there.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's how I would read it.
Sure.
I could be wrong.
So there you go. That's Job. That's the end. So what other big picture thoughts do you want to take away from the book of Job?
I love how this kind of presents a similar... it remains consistent to the biblical narrative of suffering.
Yeah.
Even though that we don't usually look at the Bible and see this,
you know, Jesus will say, you know, the good and the evil alike, rain's going to fall on both of them, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look in the book of Revelation, and there is no, like, rapture in which the faithful are, like, taken out of this. No, everybody's going through this together. Faithful, unfaithful alike are all moving through this period of suffering and torment. That this is a part of the world and that God is in control of it all.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to mean that God causes it all, right? Yeah. So, you mm-hmm. know, you have suffering in your life. God is with you and present and in control. That doesn't mean that God caused that suffering to happen. God is with you to bring about redemption in the midst of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really a really beautiful aspect of Job. I think one of the things I really like about Job is at the instance, God tells Job's friends, Job is right. Mm-hmm. He is not wrong in the situation. But Job says some really harsh things about God, you know, in the midst of his suffering. And I think for me, that is saying, like, even when we're in those places where we're suffering, we're hurting, or we're seeing hurt, and we're questioning the hand of God and how it moves in this world and in our lives, God is fine with that. Like, that is not a sign of disbelief, or that's not a sign of weak faith. Mm-hmm. That can be a sign of very strong faith of saying, why is this happening, God? And I don't understand you. And even sometimes saying, like, and I don't really like it, and I'm not really close to you right now.
Yeah.
And God is very much okay with Job saying that. And I think by, you know, the transitive property, he would be okay with me and you saying those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that God is big enough to handle that. And I think that's really a powerful part of Job, of when you're suffering and you're questioning God, that is not a sign that your faith is rocky.
Yeah.
That's a sign that your faith is real.
Yeah.
You know, like that it's a real tangible living thing, because suffering doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sometimes point to the whys or the hows or the what is this doing in those moments.
There you go.
Yeah.
Job.
All right, so let's think about our rating system.
Hmm.
Are we doing thumbs?
Okay, so each one of us.
We each have two thumbs to give.
Okay. So we really have, within those thumb ratings, we want to say we could give no thumbs, half thumb, one thumb, one and a half thumbs, or two thumbs.
We're not doing quarter, half thumb? We're not doing quarter thumbs?
We're not doing quarter. We're not going to do. So you really have five. It's a five scale system.
Can we do negative thumbs?
I think you just give a no thumb, I think, at that point.
Without being Leviticus.
So it's zero, you can't take it down.
No, because it's all Bible.
Well, maybe you could say
that. Okay, calm down, Mr. Judgy.
I mean, you might, Elise. God's going to show up. And,
I think he's okay with it.
So how many thumbs? I already declared mine.
You say one and a half. I'm going to give it a strong one thumb.
I think
one
I
thumb.
Am too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I say the
so
prologue.
We're looking at a strong three and a half thumbs here.
I think the prologue is really interesting. I think the ending where God shows up is really interesting. The 30 chapters in between is real long.
There's some very long stuff. I just think the overall theme.
The theme the
is so powerful that it gets the extra half for me.
I totally understand that. I could give it a one for those, and I just think that the friends back and forth again, all those friends are saying the exact same thing.
It's a little bloated narratively.
None of them have a new argument. They're all basically like Job.
Do we need to go back and re-rate those books that we've already done?
No. We're not going to do that.
I think we do.
Patrick says no.
Yeah.
Sure, fine. He's in charge. Give you a quick rating here. All right, Genesis.
Genesis, I would easily give one and a half thumbs.
I'll give two thumbs. I think Genesis is great.
All right.
Exodus.
Two.
Two thumbs. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Moses was cute in that DreamWorks film.
Leviticus.
Okay. One.
I'll give it a half thumb. I think
thumb.
I'm only judging this as if you were to read this as a story. If you're just reading, I'm not judging it for its spiritual or merit like that.
So this is purely like from a perspective of narrative?
From a perspective of, is this enjoyable to read?
Kind
of
thing.
Okay. Oh, then no.
Yeah, no thumb. No,
no thumb for Leviticus.
No
thumbs. Leviticus.
Numbers?
One.
I give it a one.
Having reread it, I'll go back.
Well, I didn't read it for that episode because I was not here.
No, so, okay, there you go. Okay.
You were here. We talked about it. It was a road trip episode. Because Numbers is a
I like
Numbers a lot. I like Numbers a lot, but you know, it's got some fun things, but also some harder things.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy.
I'll give a half too. Yeah.
I think some interesting stuff.
That's the one I was not here for.
You were not here for that. Mm. All right, so there we go. Yeah. So Job is It's not quite the same narrative read as Genesis or Exodus, mm-hmm. but it is a fine, it is an interesting read.
There you go.
I think if you were going to read it, definitely read the prologue, read when God shows
read
up.
Read the bookends.
Yeah.
And then, you can read parts of Job and his friends. Mm-hmm. I never want to say don't read the Bible.
Right, yes.
But I think you're going to get it. Like, if you're looking at, like, what's the main point, you'll get it if you read you read 4 or 5 chapters of that part. You'll be like, all right, I understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, they repeat themselves a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode of Beyond Sunday, be sure to rate, review, likes, share this with friends and family. As you're moving through this election season, be sure to share this out and say, hey, you might enjoy this perspective of the Book of Job. This might be helpful for you in whatever you're going through.
To your friend, be they liberal or conservative, if they are mourning.
Or somewhere between,
if they are mourning this week, let them know. We got their back.
Or next week or next month or whatever this thing, mm-hmm. who knows. Yeah. But so we hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you next week right here at Beyond Sunday.